Before we get to that, I lose my job and forget to welcome my colleague, Usman, from Mpumala. Special welcome to you, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you very much for joining us. Our aim is not really to rehash the process that you did of I did welcome. I started with Simon. What I'm interested in, not a community, individual. Now, I can't do that. That would be a service of justice if I end with that. But well, all honorable members are welcome. And I'm sorry if I assume that I had welcomed everyone. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for drawing my attention to that. And thank you very much, honorable members, for taking our invitation seriously. Well, I think that it affords you the second bite on the ATP. But the aim is not really to go back and rehash the same thing that you did previously. Our is just to say that we understand that the colleague adopted the annual performance plan. They've already debated on it. But for this committee, we're concerned about spending. We're concerned about spending. Now, as a committee that is concerned about spending, also we would like to say to you, we have looked at the third quarter spending. That's where really we measure the spending of the department. It's at the end of the third quarter, which is 9 months after the department have received the budget, and we check where they are. And as to what happens then after the end of the year, we see it taking from the angle of the expenditure at the end of the third quarter. But we are quite aware about the spike, the so-called March spike. That is, we worried about. But also to say now, how do we ensure that, one, you're going to be able to spend now this money much, much better than it has happened previously? Which is in relation to your annual, what we call a performance plan. It hasn't happened with COCA, but with other departments, we are aware that some departments spend as much as 99% over 100%. But that expenditure is not normally related to the annual performance plan. And to ask Honorable Lengeto and the other members to say, how do we ensure that the department now spend in accordance with the ATP? That's one. One is ensuring that they spend, but secondly, is ensuring that they spend in accordance with the annual performance plan, with the predetermined objectives. That is the area that we are raising. In fact, DG, you will appreciate that the Department of Water Affairs has decided to take away its contribution in the MIG, the Municipal Infrastructure Grant. And the reason for doing that, from our perspective, is that MIG was not performing, or is not performing. As a result, they thought that if they could focus their energies on that expenditure, you know what's happening now with your water infrastructure grant. Is it the right word, honorable members? MWIC is what it is called, for the water infrastructure grant. So that it ensures that the people do get water. Now, if that happens, because there's a problem with the spending in MIG, it might be the end of the day for MIG, because each department will say, well, we can spend this much better, because COPA is not what's called a spending, it's not monitoring the expenditure on that. So that's really the reason why we invited you. So we ask you a remark. Would like to invite you to address us. And anyway, we apologize if sometimes I think that there has been an overlook on outside, but actually you are not one department. You are the biggest department, because you are the two departments rather than one. Normally, our focus is mainly on the COC side. That's where normally we'll be normally what you call a pay attention, maybe because of the expenditure. So, I don't know, my honorable chair, if you want to make any remarks as well before we allow the DG to.
I won't waste any time, just to appreciate the invitation, and also we hope that we'll be given an opportunity to interact with the department payments, your full committee members, maybe to, as you correctly said, that we are getting our second bite, maybe there will be something that it's gone through our scrutiny. Then today we'll hear what will be the issue. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Comrade Chair. Over to you, DG Matanzela. We normally request the introduction of the team, but this is the this team is too small to introduce. You can introduce the colleagues that are going to contribute here. Yeah, maybe I don't know how you want to do the introduction. Like, we don't have a lot of time. We're starting late.
I would like to know your.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. This being my very first appearance before this committee, I would like to express my thanks and gratitude to the committee for this invitation to interact on matters relating to our budget and how we intend to go about spending it in the course of the current financial year. We of course, have as it happens in normal course, prepared a presentation which does more than just what Chairperson, you've indicated you would like to be addressed on. We perhaps might need some guidance, and I'm hoping that the CFO has been listening very carefully, because he's the one who's going to walk us through the park as well, to zero in on the matters that the committee is specifically interested in. But for those I haven't met, my name is Vusi Matonsela, DG of DCOC since October last year, just 3 months before the quarter that you are looking at very, very closely. I'm accompanied by DG Charles Mwaila from Traditional Affairs, who didn't want to be left out, despite the fact that the invitation was addressed to me. The person who will be giving us the presentation is Mr. Mawetu Mchuro, who is the Chief Finance Officer of both departments. We are accompanied by a sizable number of DDGs. It might be a good idea, Chairperson, if you will permit that perhaps people may still have an opportunity to introduce themselves as they intervene in the course of the discussion, so that those who don't have to say anything may not be known. So perhaps that would encourage people to voice out their thoughts, so that the committee can record their presence here, if you will permit me, Chairperson.
So that allows people to dodge PG. But no, that will be fine, PG, so that we can make a progress. I think that, PG, that if the CFO leads the presentation, then I think it takes care of our concern. There are two CFOs, I guess.
But I said it's one CFO for both departments.
You might be aiming at two salaries.
Sure. But I'm sure that DG Mwaila would like to make some remarks as well.
Yes. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, colleagues. I just wanted to make a small point to say that the Treasury has supported us. We have advertised posts in terms of corporate services and financial services as well. The advert came yesterday. So we are gradually growing. In future, we will no longer be a program of DCOC. So you will be able to invite us to come on our 2 feet. Thank you very much.
This is because it answers an obvious question that will be coming in terms of why we're not able to do certain things, you know, because of a finite vacancy. That question is going to come. Okay. Let's be assured that maybe you have also preempted it.
Okay.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairpersons and to my leaders, to all of the members. I'm going to take you through the presentation. We have heard you, Chairperson, of the thing that you do.
The presentation, Chairperson, I'll be using two documents here. There is one which forms part of the presentation, and there is a detailed Word document that gives the members the spending expectation of the next MTF cycle. That document is attached there, and it helps the members to understand how to intend to spend the funds that are allocated to us. If I may go to slide number 2, this presentation which will cover the following: the introduction, summarize departmental financial performance. Chairperson, we've heard you that you spoke about the expenditures at the end of the third quarter, but for us, because we have the figures available at the end of the financial year, so we've provided the members with that information. We have analyzed under expenditure and we'll be giving a perspective of why were sitting at that expenditure pattern, rollovers, 2013-14 departmental priorities program. We have not provided APP, and I think Chairperson said it will be fine. I won't spend too much time because that one was already presented to the portfolio committee and it's already been debated. The overall 2013-14 MTF budget allocation, number 7 will be budget allocation per program and economy clarification and transfers. The last one will transfers and subsidies in the new baseline. The purpose of this is to brief the standing committee on appropriations on the 2013-14 budget allocation and detailed expenditure report for the financial year ending 31st March 2013. Chairperson, if I may start, perhaps add what Prof. Naila was saying. The department is made up of certain programs. One of the programs is the Department of Traditional Affairs. We have not as yet been allocated a separate vote by the Treasurer. So this department still resides as part of our programs. But this is a work in progress, Chairperson. The submission was submitted as early as 2011. But the hard negotiation is how Treasurer wants to approach this matter. Whether they have not concluded on it, but it's, as I said, it's a work in progress and we'll keep the committee updated. Chairperson, slide number 4, these are the expenditure as reflected in the pre-audited financial statement that we submitted to Treasury and I just ran through because I'm just Chairperson is interested in the under expenditure and I'll go straight to slide number 8. The under expenditure for this financial year, as I said, these figures are still unaudited, is 1.112 million. That is left unspent, which is made up, it's comprised of 97.4%. That is the expenditure at the end of the year. And I'll give you the reason and how 1.4 is made up on the following slides. The first slide, as I said, is dealing with the total expenditure of the department amounts to 53.443 billion, representing 97.4% of the total allocation. The other spending of 1.412 billion represents 2.6% of the total budget. 83% of this under expenditure is made up of transfer payments that had to be withheld, transfer payments that were going to municipalities. And I'll explain why they were, which one are affected and why this particular matter happens. When it comes to compensation, to economic classification, I start with compensation of employees. The total appropriation was 192 and spent 266, we're left with 26 million. And as we said, this under expenditure was due to posts that were not filled or filled late in the financial year. The posts are within MISA and CWP. Under expenditure, under goods and services, we're left with 115 million, which represents 11.9%. And major contributors to this is our program, CWP and MISA, which makes up the majority of that 115, having 47 million and 159 million. And this is mainly due to late invoicing by the contractor service providers, and I'll explain that later. Capital goods, we left about 421,000, which represents 3.2%. And this is the analysis of under expenditure. I'm not going to go through except to say the 1.1 million is made up of transfers that could not be transferred or withheld on the advice of by the National Treasurer. The first one is MIG of 2.471, which was due to be transferred to Verabella. We have withheld that money and surrendered it to Treasurer at the end of the year. The local government equity of 725 was withheld due to municipalities being unable to spend on their conditional grants. An assessment was made by Treasury together with the department, and a decision was reached that that amount should be withheld from the equity of share. Disaster relief fund, 435, was not transferred to municipality or provinces, and that one will be explained as I move forward, because that money is, we can only transfer to municipality when disasters have happened and that assessments have been made. You see, LGA is late invoicing and also South African Cities Network. Just a person, I tried to explain what happened. The only one I can read perhaps is the local government equity ambition. And it's, I'm seeing reflect an underspending of 725.6 million. That had to be held as right by national trust as a result of lack of performance by municipalities on other conditional grants. That includes NIC, as the person has alluded to, and other grants by sector departments. Disaster relief and all those I think I have explained, and South African Cities Network. Chairperson, we have applied for those rollovers to National Treasury and we're still expecting responses, provided all the reasons why. Second, the 16th slide is about now the year that is the current financial year, 13-14. I'm not going to read the priorities because they form part of the APPs of both departments, the COM and the traditional affairs. I'm just going to go through them. That's administration, that is our first program. Second program is policy, research, knowledge management priorities, and those are the extract from the E&E document. Third program is governance and intergovernmental relations, and those are their priorities. National disaster, provincial and municipal government support, and infrastructure and economic development. The seventh one is Department of Traditional Affairs, and it's attached as an extra because they have their own APP, even though we're still remaining in the same boat. In terms of budget allocation for the next MTF cycle starting this financial year, we have just provided the members with what happened during the budget process, how much money were given additional to our baseline, and how much was taken out of our baseline, because the shippers will recall that there were mandatory savings or reductions which were approved by Minicombat, which as all departments were expected to implement, and we did exactly in this slide to show where we lost and where we got. I can just mention that in terms of MISA was allocated 60 million additional to their baseline, and perhaps as Prof. Nile was saying, we have been given some 5 million to assist the department to capacitate in terms of their corporate services, including finance, so that they can be on their own. In terms of money that we've lost, I can only mention, Chairperson, that in terms of our community,
were you talking about the Department of Traditional Affairs or what you call the 5 million?
5 million is for trends.
Okay.
For traditional affairs. The 60 million was for MISA. Additional allocation. We lost, Chairperson, 1 billion for the MTF cycle on CWP program, and the department is still in negotiations with Treasury to see whether we can get that money back. In terms of other adjustment that we made, is all to do with the compulsory deductions that were expected, this year being 1%, next year 2%, and the outer year 3%. Chairperson, these are the allocations per program, our administration, policy, governance, disaster, PMGS, infrastructure, and economic development, traditional affairs. In terms of allocation for the current financial year, we're sitting at 58.252 billion, moving from 54.885 billion. So in nominal terms, we have received about 3 billion additional to what was allocated. And most of the money that we have received additional to the previous financial year go to our equity share and the disaster relief fund. But not much on our goods and services. As I said, money has been taken from there to be reallocated in terms of the prioritization process into the non-core functions or the core functions. Chairperson, that is the allocations for economic qualification. In terms of personnel, we are sitting last year, the last financial year, 290 million, we are sitting at 298. And that 8 million is only for the improvement of conditions of services, and 5 million that I spoke about for the 2 million for the trust. So really, we have not been assisted by Treasury in terms of filling the post that we deemed necessary for the department to look after this 58 billion that we have been allocated. We cannot appoint new people as we speak now. We don't have any funding for that. And our goods and services budget is not enough to actually follow the rent as we're expected to do in terms of our functions that has to do with department. The transfers, as I said, they have moved from 52 to 55. Capital goods, we have dropped up by 12 million because the funds that were allocated for CWP have been transferred to the goods and services. That's about 5 million. So that's why there's a reduction. This is the last slide, Chairperson, and this one is giving you, this is giving the members. Sorry. Perspective in terms of the transfers for the next 3 years. As I said, the actual allocation for the department, including TRES, is 58.52 billion, coming from 54. And MIG is 14 billion. SMIG is 240 million. Municipal disaster from 510 to 534. Equity of the shares, I said it has moved and it keeps on moving across the MTF cycle. CWP is doing the same except the 1 billion that we have lost. MISA, perhaps if I may just explain, is starting this financial year. They will be forming part of our transfer payments. They are busy now trying to comply with Section 38J of the PFMA. And once they do that, then we'll be able to, they have opened a bank account already, the Treasurer has allowed them to do that. So it will be one of our government components and to be doing transfer. They already have their own offices. SALGA, MDB, CRI Commission, South African Citizens Network, CLG, all those entities and that have 44,000 for threats. And it leaves the operational budget that you see there is only for DECOC, that is his salaries and goods and services. And you have your cut-off percentages of 0.7% of the total allocation that you are expected to use to manage this budget. I must say, from where we're sitting, we're finding it very difficult to actually do what are expected to do in terms of human resources and also financial resources. And we would request the committee to assist us when we approach Treasurer to get some more additional funding to appoint the very critical post that we have identified as a department that will assist us to pursue the mandate that we have been given. And Mr. Person, that's the end of the presentation. And when it comes to improvement from Spanish image, as I come to your question, we have set up structures in place. The budget committee is in existence. The procurement plan of the department is in existence, which caters for all the projects that have been identified in our APP. And those structures are in place. The monthly meetings of the senior strategic management committee, which does an overall look at the expenditure patterns of the department and taking corrective action. And those things, we believe that they will definitely assist us in spending the funds that have been allocated to us. I mean, only just last comment is that all the projects that are in our APP are fully funded and carried out within the allocated budget. Thanks, Chairperson. I'll hand over to the accounting officers.
Chairperson, that concludes the presentation.
DJ now acts like the speaker. That concludes the business of the day. We're not there yet. DJ. But, you know, DJ, when we say we don't want to really rehearse what's presented to the standing committee, it doesn't mean that we don't want to see the AGP because it helps us in terms of the question that I was raised, that we raised earlier, that how do we ensure that your budget is within your predetermined objectives, and your predetermined objectives can only be the APP. So if we don't have access to it, it doesn't help as much as the committee. But, honorable members, let's...
Ghana. I thought there was another hand.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Honorable Swa. Okay. Honorable Takan.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thanks for your presentation. And of course, the DG, welcome. I must say we see you for the first time in this committee, and thanks for the presentation, the two DGs. Chair, the first question I just want to ask is on page 8 of the presentation. I heard in the intro from the DG, and of course also the DG from Traditional Affairs was saying that the Treasury is helping us to find our feet, and the next time around will come in a different form. Now, I just want to really understand in terms of this slide 8, there was an allocation of $350 million that I see on the appropriation here, which at the end the expenditure was about 25% of what was allocated. I just want to find out if we can just be helped to understand whether this is called here Department of Traditional Affairs, whether it qualified to become a department in the sense of how we know the department, or is a part of a program, a department program. Now, if you can help us understand it, because if it here is allocated as a department, surely there will be the targets and the plan that need to be met in the particular year. Now, the question would be, if it only spent 25% of what is being allocated to that department, what degree of achievement of target has been reached? So that informs this question, whether it qualified to be a department or a program. What is the outlook? Is the outlook to be that particular fully-fledged department as we know a department to be, or remain as a program? Second question is, in here there is an explanation of withholding the money. I just want to understand the reason for this, and I understand the reason is explained here. And in terms of the prescript, I mean, there is a period in which the period is allowed for withholding the money in order for certain things to happen. What was the period that was affecting in this equation, and what has been the implication of this? What has been the implication of it? What's the result of that? Now, the third one, Chair, is the issue about vacant posts and filling vacant physical posts and so on. Now, the last time we had a briefing, this department was taking about 20 months to fill a critical strategic post. I just want to find out in terms of the allocation that we have here, in terms of, are we still left to expect to see that same problem that has been a recurring problem, particularly generally with most of the department, but this one, if I remember, it was in the order of 20 months to fill a critical post. Are we looking forward? Are we having to change this situation around? The last one. You know, this is a reoccurring problem of invoices. There is a problem there that a certain amount of money was not paid because of the invoices, the contractors are not providing in the invoices. Looking for ahead, maybe for better tomorrow, is there a plan that you can touch that you can obviously avoid this particular problem that you're talking about? Certainly there should be a kind of monitoring and evaluation, monitoring that goes on month to month, that try and avoid or avoid this particular problem to reoccur. Is there a plan that has been put together by the department to try and overcome this particular problem moving forward. Chair, let me pause there. Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Kagana. Honorable Zin.
I fear I'm a bit arithmetically challenged because I can't add up figures to get the same results as the department does. So let me ask what seemingly a stupid question. Can we compare slide 9 and slide 12? My first question is why the figures are not the same. So on slide 9, we have underspending of 1.412 billion. On slide 12, we have underspending of 1.168. Now, it would seem, and I suppose this is the first question, that they refer to a slightly different period. There was 1.412, and then subsequent to that, the first four bullets on page 12 were paid. The 230, 26, 40, and 34, that comes to 330 million. Those are then transferred, so reduced the under expenditure to 1.168. That's my question. Is that correct, firstly? But even if it's correct, the figures still don't add up to the page, to the figure on slide 9. So it's an approximation, but it's still not the same. I would have thought they'd be identical if it's riveting. Second question, on page 12, it talks about this new figure, this of 1.168, is due to the following transfers that were not paid, the following transfers. So I presume that means the bullets underneath that. So you have an expenditure of 1.1 billion, and then under that you list a number of payments not made, which total 3.5 billion. So how does 1.16 be made up of 3.5 billion in its constituent parts? That seems to be also problematic in my brain. So my third question is, I'm not quite sure that I understand the logic of the equitable share being withdrawn because the municipality fails to spend the capital grant. The way I understand it, if you're given a capital grant and you don't spend it, you take away the capital grant. Why take away equitable share if you're not getting a capital grant? The very point about equitable share is unconditional. You can do what you like with it. If you happen to use it badly, that's the nature of the beast. We can't control what you do with it. That's why it's called unconditional and not conditional. So why is money taken away in terms of the equitable share because capital grants are not being spent? I fail to understand that as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Smith. Honorable Swart?
Thank you, Chair. Just on the question, the South African Cities Network and the United Cities of Ocean Africa, you said CLA, do we really require those under expenditures, do we really require those two funds in the budget, number one? They can explain that. Number two, we've had a lot of irregular and wasteful expenditure, and I just want to know, Chair, whether anything has been done in terms of, what are they do to sort that out, and is there a functioning internal audit committee in that department?
Thank you, Chair. You know, for me, the department is still not convincing me why should we allocate this budget to me, because there's nothing that convinces me. When you look at slide number 6 and 7, slide number 6 is talking about committee work, which is only for the whole year. They spend 55.9%, and when it comes to MISA, it's then spent 41.6%. When you look at slide number 7, in terms of agencies, they only spend 7%. So for me, it becomes a serious challenge when I look at those things. But when I look at their priorities, slide number 16, in terms of where point 6 they are talking about under administration, that they are going to struggle municipality will be support of communication tools. Now my question around that is to say, how do they align themselves with Department of Communication? Because for me there is no alignment. If there is, what is it? It's, for me, it's like a duplication of what Department of Communications will be doing in terms of community radios, community newspapers, all these things. Where is the alignment there? Because some of the, they are saying they're trying to promote programs to the community. But when I look at it closely, for me, it's not that. It's to, a real issue within the municipalities themselves is to check out whether they are lazy or the lack of commitment and also lack of accountability. Because some of the things, man, some people just cleaning the street, you'll find officials of municipality not cleaning, you know, things not happening. Is that a communication strategy? I'm not so sure. I need to be convinced. When you look at slide 18 in terms of governance and intergovernmental relations, I would like point number four. They say they'd love to advise and support 120 municipalities by workshop, by way of workshop training, project appraisal, in terms of MIG expenditure. But I want to understand, because we've got a Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, how, especially when it comes to, they've got these municipal assessment tools, where is the alignment also there around that, especially in terms of Program 2 and Program 3? How do they align themselves with that? And point number 7 on the same page is talking about 40 ethics committees. I'd like more explanation on that. And then on point number 8, in order to pin down corruption, they develop in the terms of the intervention that is needed. Now I'm asking myself, there's presidential hotline, there's national audit corruption hotline, the special investigation unit. Why are they not using those people so that there's an alignment within that? And in some, I know when presidential hotline, people will be complaining. How many cases was referred to them and how many were solved in terms of that? I'll ask other questions as we go on. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm raising a few problems here, especially with this under expenditure, because with the mechanisms in place that assist local government to do their work, we have in the National Treasury the Technical Assistance Unit, which is supposed to advise them and identify where this where there will be a problem in spending. We also have this NISA, which we really ask ourselves, why solve a problem? If you have a problem here, you solve it by creating another structure. Because right now we missed from the DPS, which has in a way that they explained to us that they were helping. And we had Siamanje. It seems it was not working. And we have MISA. And they are already having problems with MISA. Can't we get a way where we'll be able to see that there is service delivery? Because this is the most important department where we need to see the life of our people being changed. But every time we are with local government, we see that all the mechanisms that are put in place and funded don't work. We have this community work program, which we thought was the best way to reach the people and change the lives of the people, seeing them working, doing whatever little work that's supposed to be done, identified from the communities, but we still have a service provider in between. How much goes to those people whose lives we want to improve, socio-economic projects, improvement of the empowerment of the people, because this money now goes to a service provider who's going to get more than what the poor person has to get in order to alleviate poverty. And still, they're under expenditure. We have this 30-day payment, which affects this, there are no lack of provision of invoices. But we have this instruction from the National Treasury, which was implemented last year. What consequences are being taken if the 30-day payment is not complied with? Because we can't have people who can't get paid, because once we have systems in place that make sure that people get paid. And again, another one chair is the rollover. The presenter told us that he's here to see that they be given more money. What about this rollover? Because it shows that management of finances is not good in this department for us to sit down here and be thinking of who they've got little funds. There's a lot of money in this department that needs to go to the people first before we can start talking about the under budgeted for. There's enough budget here. As long as we can understand why can't they spend, we have SALGA that needs to assist them to make sure that money goes to the people. As I said, we have many mechanisms in place to assist that this department takes services to the people, programs that make sure that people get paid and the poverty of people are alleviated through this program that we see in the program. So if they can maybe assist us, that why can't they use these mechanisms to make sure that they are able to spend their funds? Thank you. Thank you. I nearly forgot the song of contact within municipality. One of the experiences that I've seen is to say, the president talked about creation of jobs, and we talk about decent jobs. But you'll find that within the municipality, I mean cleaning the streets, they outsource it to become a contract. Now, when are we going to create jobs? The EPWP, now recently I got a complaint, there are, what do they call them, municipality security. They've been there with the municipality on contract for 5 years. When the next contract will be reviewed comes in, they say to them, no, they must be under EPWP. So now everything changes from what they've been used to get, goes very low, because now EPWP doesn't pay more than the amount. They've got their own amount that they pay. So for me, I'm saying, what are we really saying here? I'm trying to say for this, but to say, how does this work? Because now it's not creating jobs, and there's a lot of people in the municipality where too much is being outsourced. When are they telling the municipality there are certain things that you can outsource, but things that you use daily? For me, I can't believe that cleaning the street on a daily basis should be outsourced. I believe that it should be within the municipality. I'm just making an example. But everything, most of the municipalities are outsourcing their core functions. And every end of the day, we end up having this kind of thing. So I just wanted to know to say, outsourcing in terms of consultancy, contracts, you know, all those things. When I grew up, the house was not built by a contract. It was the job of the municipality. It's their job. They have planners. I'm asking myself, because I've been that there's also not enough planners in municipality. Now that we are talking about inside, under administration, because they are talking about that they're going to make sure that there's capacity inside. But when you go to municipality, you'll find that there's only one planner, an old gentleman, who does not have a person that they can share the skills or pass the skills with. So there's no planning in terms of that. And those are critical skills. I've seen in one municipality, the whole municipality does not have a qualified engineer. You know, those kind of things that are tangible within the municipality, I want to understand from the department side. What do they do? I know it's not there. They will be saying it's not their core business. Meaning, if I give you money, immediately when I'm the one giving you money, I want to see that the money is spent correctly. So you're not going to say to me, municipality are entity on their own, whereas you give them money. Yes, they are entity, but they don't have money. You are the one supplying the most money, so you are the one to make sure that that money is being spent well. Thank you, Chair.
I'm covered with the complete whole. That's the same question we have been asking, the problem is the same question she's asking now. And outsourcing everything, the call from the truck of what they're not doing. Even this question of the city, there's nothing. And then we were just missing the development. And so we have created so much of the sort of we are just giving our people just a 10 kg of money. We have been asking this department for years now. And they are doing none other thing. They are forcing one kind has got a contract to kill one street and while others are going to kill another street. We have been asking this for a long time. I'm happy that now the approach of the community has managed to ask the same question.
And one question on the disaster fund. Why is this money not getting to people? That's the question that I'm asking, Chair. What is the problem? And which areas that have claimed or did not get money? Why is it not getting to people? Are you not able to manage this fund? Should this fund be removed away from you? What is the problem? Because since I've been to this committee, there have been always problems around this fund. And there are disasters all over the place. The money is there, the money is not used. And the government is being boxed left and right, the money is there. What is the problem?
By consultants, I'm sure you are used. But is there anything about it or any cost made to a consultant?
The question is, are you utilizing consultants, and if yes, for what? Because it's not reflected in the report. And also, for those consultants, what is the mandate that is given to those consultants? So, okay.
Thank you, Chair. On page 6, that is on the mission. Only 41.6% are spent now. I think that if you look at the Auditor General's report, then it shows something is wrong. Now the expenditure was only 41.6%. My question is, what are the real chances on mission? What are the real challenges on mission? Because if I look at the stats here, and you look at the outcome of the Auditor General's report, and it looks for me here is a big problem, and it needs much more attention.
I think that to clarify the question, what Honourable Member is saying is that we understand here the objective of me, but Honourable Mashiro indicated that there was Sienza Mahes, was prosecuted with Sienza, and there's an understanding. Do we need that structure, or what are the challenges? Why is it that we can't spend today? Chair, have you got anything to write?
It's just a summary on what members have said, but I think the department has captured the comments and questions from members. It's the very same concerns we had at the portfolio committee level. We talk about MISA and all the structures that were before MISA and also the turnaround strategy, but we don't see much impact on all the interventions that are in place. We're waiting for the turnaround strategy to be finalized in July, so that we'll be able, because it has been put to volume, so by it will be specifically with one province and each and every municipality, so that we'll be able to, as we commit, making some monitoring and evaluation, so that to be able to draw up a volume in a certain province, you pick up a municipality, we see the performance of each and every municipality. We are just awaiting to see that one, what will be the impact
in terms of Auditor General's report. And also in terms of MISA, I think thus far, according to our understanding, but I'm taking the response from the department, just providing certain technical aspects to certain municipalities of which is not enough. And yet we are seeing an underspending. We need a clarity on that one. Is there a shortage of engineers in this country? Because money is there. It's shortage of skills in this country. Money is there and there is underspending. If that's the case, with the money that is being underspent, why then that they are not coming up with a certain of a buzzer to come up to recruit some students to join that one. And also there's a huge concern also on CWP, whereby we imagine that the exact beneficiary that is intended to assist is not getting enough money as committee members are raising. The money is being shared to those people who are mediating in the process, of which the whole country, they are four. I think there are four. It's the Teta and the, like you made mention of them, there are three. You'll mention, and also it brings in conflict even in provinces, whereby one from KZN is also assisting Eastern Cape and Western Cape and the like. It brings conflict because there is no synergy in working relationship in the three. We just need a comment on that one.
Well, thank you very much, the chairperson. Maybe just to add on what also I think it was honorable. In fact, I don't know if this is a kind of who's head is the CWP, or is Mr. Mazur now, but I think it was someone else in the past. You see, the issue that the Auditor General raised was that how we spend on consultants. We create departments, but we have these warm bodies that are sitting there, are supposed to be heading these units. But we leave them and take the money to consultants. I think that was the issue that honorable members raised. Consultants. Why should we have consultants just for community work programs? What do we have consultants to do? What is it that the department cannot do itself? We can't understand it as members, but it's good that we thought that maybe it's us from appropriation, but clearly, even colleagues, they don't understand. Can't you have a unit in the, what you call it, people in the unit, Mr. Mozo? Can't you have build your own capacity there to ensure that there is a expenditure? The last presentation that we had, in fact, on the city, we found that this money is going to consultants. It's going to service providers. It is not going to benefit. People are not benefiting because the service providers, maybe when I don't come back next year, should be a service provider for CWP and get money as well so that I can keep going. Why should we do that? The other thing is that really the DG, we should really look at this, what is it, at the configuration of these things like this program for job creation. How many days do people work for the CWP? Sometimes one day a week. And then we say, no, this person has got something. So it's better an old lady there who's getting a pension better than someone who's working. Can't we just have a rethink on this thing? So we want to help people to do what? It can't be that it should be in a week a person would work once and what. And this PG, I'm not just referring to CDWP. I'm just referring to EPWP as well. I mean, if you look at this department, and the Department of Public Works person can research as to the origins of the public works program, which I think that the DG you know better. So, and there's a lot of work that people can do in the municipalities
both in the EPWP is underspending on this money. Until we said, okay, put up something up front so that the municipalities can spend something. But it cannot be that these are, I mean, we want consultants for this. I think there's a need to be a rethink that generally on how this EPWP works. I mean, imagine you go to your constituency and of course people don't work. They want, even that's one day that they get something, they don't mind. But I think that those of us who are supporting those people, I think we just need to think outside the box. What can we do about this? And also, thank you. But also, we are aware that there's a lot of money that is lying around for job creation. We have got in what happens something. Working for water. You have got in all over. There are these money. Can we bring this money somewhere? And that creates something. So I know that's not your responsibility, but the responsibility emanates from the CPWP. Now, look, people are hurting. People don't have jobs. We only spend 55%. And mind you, this 55%, if you take back that billion, surely you'll be left with nothing that has been spent for this CPWP. Why do we allow that? PG, I want you when you come back to tell us that you're dissolving those factors of in KZ and all over. I think that or else, if you're not doing that, there must be working data. But you can't have consultants under this program. I think that unless you want to just to give money, people some money, to keep some people going so that they could have money. But the people, the real people who need this service are not receiving the service. That is what is coming across here. That one. But two, VG. This is the MIG. I see here, in order to have good books, Mr. Muchida, am I right? Muchida, eh? In order to have good books, good balance, 100% is transferred. So, and the department walks away. You transfer 100%. Is that what we want with this money? Remember, earlier I said that the water affairs recognize that you're not spending, and now they are adding their own what you call infrastructure grant, so that this money could work. Again, does it mean that we should again just look at some ways of saying, so how to ensure that this municipal infrastructure does what it was created for? But also, you can't just give people money and walk away. You don't know what is happening. But now look what was required. When these people are not spending, it takes away the money. I agree with the Honorable Smith there. Why do we, these monies were not, not that they were not returned in the 2011-2012 financial year. I'm sure it's something that happened some months, some years ago. I know when Honorable Shitaka was still the minister, this thing happened, but he stopped it at that time. So remember, under those who were there at that time, we do remember. Those who were there when he was still the minister, those are trying to do it. He stopped it and finally had to give back this money. But somehow, now it's coming back again. Now you have agreed, whether it has withheld. But these monies are meant for those municipalities. So the reason why there was allocation for municipalities, and many of these municipalities who are affected here do not have their revenue base. So, shouldn't you be some kind of discussions with them in terms of what? In terms of how, for instance, the money could have been withheld. That one. Two, the role of National Treasurer. The unit that Honorable Mashiko that you were talking about, ne? The National Treasurer, that is responsible for monitoring, for assisting municipalities. Section 154 of the Constitution is very clear. It says national government and provincial government must support the municipalities. So we can't just say that if you withhold money, in fact, honorable members, we're supposed to get a report in terms of saying this is what has been done by the department, by National Treasury, by the provincial government, and that is why they are withholding. We have never received that report. So, but the money has been withheld. but we have not received the report. It means that national traders themselves have not done their job as well. Because the report has not come to us, has not come to Parliament. It can't be that it is the responsibility of national treasurer only. It is Parliament that passes the budget, not national treasurer. The other thing, that one worries me every day. I discuss it with my chairperson. I did not want to call lobby him today. Is the ward committees. You know, with the public works program, there are different programs, sub-programs for public works. There is a social grant, what is it called? But it's a social kind of a responsibility where public works, for people who are doing health and who visit people who are HIV or what. They get the money. I mean, they get home committee, what's it called? Home committee based care. Yeah? And those people somehow in the benefit in this public works program, the EPWP. But the person who helps me in the ward committee, should we find a way of coming up with some kind of arrangement of saying so at least these people could get some subsistence, you know, of a sort. Because they're doing a lot of good work as members of the ward committee supporting the ward councillor. I know that he is not part of this. I'm sorry to have taken a bit long. You summarize.
Chairperson, thank you very much.
I'll ask the other question outside with the traditional aspect because it's not yet independent. But people are, but some chiefs are fighting there for wanting kingship and that's why we have not received that report. But I think that the committee, the portfolio committee will receive that report. So.
Oh, do we have the green? Oh, thank you very much. I don't know how much time we've got, but I'll try and deal with, in my newness, deal with some of the questions. Let me start with the questions relating to the Community Works Program. Let me start by saying that the Minister is currently undertaking an institutional review of the Community Works Program with the sole purpose of making sure that the layers of non-profit organizations that are involved in the management of the program are streamlined and that to the extent possible we actually reduce the numbers of organizations involved in order to make it possible for more money to reach the participants of the program. So the Minister has already initiated that process. Perhaps I should point out that the Community Works Program is currently being managed under the auspices of MISA. And that the Minister, I'm sure, will once the process has been concluded, will provide a report through ourselves, or perhaps the CEO of MISA, to this committee and other committees in Parliament on how the program is being rolled out. With regards to how many days participants in the Community Works Program actually spent doing work, CWP is meant to be a public job guarantee scheme which guarantees 100 days a year. If you translate that, it gives you not more than 2 days a week. this is drawn from experiences elsewhere, in particular the Indian example. But there's no doubt about the fact that the Indian population is much bigger than ours, and that their response to particular social conditions, social economic conditions in India, if adapted to our own conditions, it should be possible for us to revise it accordingly to meet our needs. But as of now, this is the first phase of the rollout of the community work program. We will still draw lessons from it, and in the fullness of time, we will look at what adjustments can be effected. But as of now, it guarantees 2 days a week. And this is, by the way, not for people to do just about anything they can do. This is about meaningful community work. It's not about them finding something meaningful to do. We don't dig trenches and fill them up again. But it's about things that bring about change in the lives of people at a local level. So, Jefferson, once that is done, we will certainly come back with a report to this committee and other committees on what changes may have been effected to the community work program. On MISA, and I don't know who else, because we don't have the acting CEO of MISA with us. MISA was established, let me put it this way, the legislation that set up MISA was proclaimed last year, May, and that in the course of the last financial year, MISA was busy setting itself up. So it had the responsibility to set up at the same time as do work. There clearly have been some challenges with regard to trying to do both at the same time. And this partly accounts for the low expenditure by MISA, which is at 41.6%. But colleagues who are closer to MISA around here perhaps may add to what I've just described, that MISA has had some challenges with regard to the establishment process, and it is also busy recruiting people to fill up vacancies.
Sorry, but it's, I wonder if we are getting new version or the response is directed to what they have asked, because we know it's a model that CWP was copied from India. What we want to know is that the expenditure, because there's no time, let's get the responses that go directly to our to ours, because I don't know if other people heard what was being explained by MISA and CWP, because they confused me more, because the DG said they were one thing at one stage and then he's explaining them differently. So I don't know what approach we can take so that we can get for our own report, so that we understand what we're going to write in our own report. Because really, I didn't get clarity. I don't know whether other members have it. But let's then focus it on why it's underspent and what is going to be done to avoid this under expenditure. Because so far, we are not happy about how this is. And we're happy that the minister is looking into it. But other explanations, let's just limit to what will assist us to write our report and come to positive recommendations. Thank you.
I think that you're right, Honorable Ashifa, but I think what the DG is saying is that the reason for what is saying, he says the health department, they are aware that this is not performing. That's why then the minister is doing the
institutional review.
But I think that what I heard, I thought the comment that I heard, I will make it later when the DG has finished, because I was going to say the committee needs to be kept abreast with the development, you know, but we'll do it when you're done. So I think that other members, let's just allow the department to respond. At the end, we'll summarize we'll summarize the response of the department and why status we think that should be the matching order for the department. Thank you. Over to you, DG.
Thank you, Chair. This might be a convenient time for me to ask other members of the department to assist in fielding the questions. more directly. CFO and other DTGs that are here. Thank you.
Ken, you want to respond on the disaster management?
Thank you, Uncle Chair. My name is Ken. Yeah. I'm Ken Terry. I head the National Disaster Management Center. Just to respond to the question that was asked, the funds that are available on the NIDCOG budget of $534 million for immediate relief is money that is in the contingency reserve at National Treasury. What they have done, they've taken that specific amount and appropriated it so that it is easily accessible in terms of immediate relief funding. So it's not a fund that we can spend. Disaster has to be declared, and then we approach the National Treasury for immediate relief funding, and which we do. Just to give an indication, up until now, in the current financial year, we have, of the 534, we have released 121 million already.
Okay, you see, DG, we're asking this question, not that we don't know what is happening. For instance, if you look at the disaster management, you must go to what the Division of Revenue says, how the disaster, what you call the relief fund, must work. That's why the members are asking, but it is not intended. One of the members said, a lot of disasters, the Division of Revenue says this money is intended that in 3 days' time, you could respond. But you're not answering anything closer to that. But let's get to another what is called an issue. You're not saying anything closer to what you want to hear. You're saying it is not performing. Why is it not performing? Despite the conditions that in the Division of Revenue that allocate this money. So I'm saying you're not have this thing up. Thank you. What is the other question response to you? Somebody else?
Thanks, Jefferson. Let me start with this. The question from Chairperson was, are there consultants? And the report that we have presented there is not actually the financial statements, that's where you get detailed information in terms of the expenditure component. Yes, there are consultants in CWP, and it's just difficult of the work that these people are doing, but the department is doing some capacity building in terms of dealing
over. So that we don't go back, the DG has responded on this question. Unless there's something else that you want to add from what the DG said. Because I suspect that your approach is not going to assist us.
Thanks,
Mr.
President. Let me start with the first question from Honorable Mashakam. The 350 that was sent by allocated to the Department of Traditional Affairs, this amount is not the total budget that was to that department. It's only for the assets that were raised. Oh, I'm responding to the first question from Honorable Mashakeng on slide number 8, referring to amount allocated to Department of Traditional Affairs of 150 and having spent only even 5% of that. Yes, it is true, but this is not total allocation to the department. Only for the assets that they expected to buy. Yes, the department has its own targets, which in terms of the presentation that they have made to the portfolio committee, they have met. And as I say, this 25% only refers to assets, and there are reasons why they didn't spend the whole amount. The total amount that was allocated to the department is about 100 million. Withholding of funds, that was the second question. We have provided reasons, and the major part that we withheld during the financial year with regard to equity and share, and we have given the reason. You will see it on. No, split it in terms of economic classification. It will have your goods and services, your personnel, your capital assets. And if added to it, it will come to 100,000. Yes. Yeah, but Yeah. Sorry. So slide number 23, Chairperson. Yes, Chairperson, the withholding of funds, we have provided the reasons, and I think the colleagues from the presence will also assist, and I think Frederick is also here, that but the major part that was withheld is the equity of the share. Philip of Eke, these are all questions from Honorable Shakeng. Yes, the current allocated budget on compensation of employees is already fully committed, and we won't have...
The members asked questions so that they could get answers. But if you don't want to respond, you know, we'll come up with our own version of the final thing, because we didn't get the full answer. I don't hear what you say. You have provided the answer. You say you provided the answer somewhere. But because if we don't see this response, or we're not happy with the response, I think you're supposed just to tell us exactly why Treasury took this decision. I think the question wants to understand. Because after this, if we're not satisfied with your answer, we must go to Treasury and ask Treasury the same question. Ask for the same explanation why this approach, not the real one, because should something else that could have been done. Yes, please continue.
Yes, Chairperson, the answers are provided on slide number 30. When it comes to local government equities, we are saying this particular item reflects an under expenditure or underspend of 725.6 million that had to be withheld as advised by National Treasury as a result of lack of performance by municipalities on other conditional grants in the previous financial year. What has happened is that the previous financial year, Treasury, together with the department, they did an assessment of expenditure patterns by municipalities on all conditional grants that were allocated and transferred to municipalities. And the outcome of that was the amount that was found to have not been spent by municipalities on conditional grants. And because the money was no longer available from the municipalities' bank accounts, then the Treasury advised, as it allowed in terms of the applicable prescripts, to take the money from the equity. And we advised that this 705, what it means is that instead of transferring it to municipalities, we withheld it and surrendered it to the debt to the fiscal. And that's why it's reflected in our books as under expenditure and money that was not transferred to municipalities. There are issues that the municipalities are raising, and though before the decision is taken, Chairperson, the municipalities are given enough time to motivate and provide reasons why certain actions could not be taken. And the municipalities did that, and on evaluation of the responses received, the national departments took the decision because it was felt it's no use. It's not also helping the municipality to keep on handing money to them whilst the money are not being used for the purposes for which they were transferred. The disaster refund, I think Ken has explained that, this money is still remaining with us because certain processes by the municipalities and provinces were not fulfilled during the year under review. United Cities of Local Government Africa, this money was allocated specifically for this organization when it was still located in South Africa. It has moved to Morocco, and there are currently discussions between our minister and the two labs of, there is also a lab locally and in Morocco, but there has been no finality as whether what we need to do with this money. There is about 2.1 million that was left at the end of the financial year. Treasury having we surrendered some of it during the adjustment budget. The MIG, and this is the first one that was withheld because as we were, I think Jefferson was also saying that we have been transferring MIG 100% while municipalities are not spending, and in the current financial year there is also a possibility of a huge underspending by municipalities on MIG, around 2 billion, that is the projections. And this one we advised just before the end of the financial year that must withhold this money for the Pelagala municipalities. So that's the only money that was not transferred for municipalities. Yeah, and moving thing to Honorable Smith, that's what I'm still on this slide. The two figures that he referred to, that they are balancing, perhaps I can explain it quickly if you read this.
DG, I'm sorry, Mr. McHugh. DG, I think that are a number of questions. Going to the first one, there's a sitting of members at 2 o'clock. No? It becomes unfair. That's why the House has become so big, because at 2 o'clock they must be in the House. In fact, ourselves, we have a responsibility in the House for the appointment of the Senator from the court, which we must present to the House. So we have a challenge. But the direction that I would like to make is that we must get the outstanding question in writing. But honorable members, I think that we need to have time with the department to discuss a number of what we call the issues that arose from this meeting that we are not often after for a while. I think that we need to have the time, which is just proper what you call the time, so that together we can assist one another. But so the request that I'm making now is that we stop here. It's the first one now with the majority of the people have gone. That, I don't know if DG and or DGs, if there's something, for instance, that you would like us to take into account before I suggest on behalf of the committee what needs to be done moving forward. I'm not going to what you call it to allow. I'm requesting now not to allow anyone. What is it, Honorable?
I just wanted to say, when they respond on written, when they respond
in writing, yeah.
Can they just respond to him on disaster management? Because still I don't have an answer for that. The second issue, is it the DGD? Yeah? The CFO,
yeah.
He was coming into real issues, why what is happening with CWD programs. You say they do a consultant, and I'm interested in that. I want them to answer in depth those consultants, what are they doing, whatever. Then we can take it from there, Chair. That's all that I want to say. Thank you.
I think that I need your patience. Because the teacher says this program is under review. Once it is done, you will get a response. So my appeal to you is that let us wait for this process. And I'm sure the committee, portfolio committee, will be given the report, and we can have an input on that, what we're not happy with. Because I think that we have indicated what we're not happy with. I don't know when we can get, as to whether expecting to get a report on the review of this, but clearly, I wanted to say, honorable members, that I'm saying we need to have time with the department so that we can clarify with you. Maybe when we have time next time, maybe the minister himself will be here. And, Mr. you wanted to ask the president?
I want to point out that I've noted all the issues that the chairman requested for clarification. May I suggest that we sit down with the department, work out answers in the required format,
please,
for the committee, and present that for consideration.
Yeah. Now, that really helps. And part of that is that Section 216 of the Constitution, Section 216, 3 of the Constitution, says
a decision to stop the transfer of farm due to a province, and then I just add that we that is include the municipality in terms of section 214 that we use to stop those farms may be taken only in the circumstances mentioned in subsection 2. That's why A may not stop the transfer of funds for more than 120 days, and B may be enforced immediately, but will lapse retrospectively unless Parliament approves it, following a process substantially the same as that established in terms of section 76(1). That is, this refers to now the stopping of funds. So it's not that wholesale thing that one day you decide that you stop. It means that Parliament, if you're stopping them for 120 days, and this is the case now, it means that we also need to have a report on that, so that Parliament can say, yes, we think that the stopping of this fund was justified. Honorable Mashiach.
Chair, I still suppose, Honorable Mufur.
Yes.
The CFO was giving us an explanation that is going to assist us why they understand.
Okay.
And I think we need it more than any other thing. Yeah, more than that.
Okay. I'm on a rule that that report on CPWP must still come. But I don't know. Yeah, but it must still come. Then the way that the CFO intended to do it. So the yeah. I think that there are a number of things that we have to suggest, which I would really like to hear your response, in, including the work committees, giving them what you call a form of assistance or to the work committees. But further, we must also respond on this adopting of funds to this 83 municipalities. So one, the process that they was embarked upon, but also that why is it that Parliament was not informed about this? So I think that DG will request these responses, but after these responses would like to engage with yourself, with Department of Public Works, on this EPWP and the SPWP program, but you will be advised and invited to that meeting. So we'll discuss together the date and that agree.
Sorry?
Light? Well, the response we wanted by the 6th. Today is Tuesday, on Thursday the 6th. So by the end of business, on the 6th and Thursday, we must get a response. I mean, no, the response, the reason for giving you the short time is because we know that you would have given us the answers now. So the only difference is just putting them down. Thank you very much. If there's no, there's nothing else, this meeting stands adjourned. Thank you very much.